God, we thank you that I'm going to pause my prayer right there and start my sermon in some ways. I don't know if you listen to the songs when we sing them, but you need to, because songs can be prophetic. You know what prophetic is? Prophetic is kind of how God created the world. He said, let there be light, and there was. So when we stand in the name of Jesus and we sing, sickness is not my story, you are. Jesus is. Sickness is not my story. Fear is not my story. And when you come into agreement with that and your spirit connects with the spirit of God, then sickness cannot be your story anymore. But we've got to come out of the old story, because often we fall in love with the old story. How are you today? Oh, I'm not very well. Get out of your old story. And I really believe that song, we're going to sing it after I've finished this message, there's a new horizon. What do you see when you look forward? What do you see? So, Lord, we come out of agreement with fear. We come out of agreement with sickness. We come out of agreement with confusion. And we come into agreement with you and with your word. And, Lord, over the orphanage we pray, Lord, you said, I'll make a way where there is no way. That is your word. And so we stand on your word. And so, Lord, you can and you will make a way where there is no way. And Lord, we thank you for Glenda, and as others have prayed, we pray peace. We pray, Lord, we thank you, Lord, you're not a God of confusion, but you're a God of peace. You give her wisdom by your spirit. God, that you'll be with those people up there and give them strength and courage and peace. You will protect them. Lord, because you say you will. Yeah. Lord, your word says we'll not be harmed by the arrow during the day. Lord, we can claim your word. Help us to do that today. Lord, we pray not only will they be doing it up in the orphanage and around that area, around the churches, and around the world where people are persecuted, but we too today will stand on your word and see it come to fruition in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready? I'm ready. Someone once said, we all live under the same sky, but we don't have the same horizon. We all live under the same sky, but we don't have the same horizon. What does that mean? Well, what do you see? Particularly when you look forward, what do you see?
Hopefully heaven.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we want to see, isn't it? I'm just believing that as we sing this song later, that it will be prophetic. I believe it already has been this morning. You feel the Spirit of God kind of stirring. And you know what? And this is why I want to harp on this a little bit today. It's not the first time we've sung this song in church. And it didn't resonate with my spirit till Wednesday night, till it was played at Praise and Prayer. So the point I want to make is you can miss stuff. You can miss stuff. If you're not paying attention, you can miss stuff. That's why you want to show up in church. God called Evan Roberts, who was used in one of the most powerful revivals of Christianity ever. You know how he found God? He just went to every meeting. To him and God connected in a more powerful way. So you just got to show up. You got to have your ears out. Have your eyes focused. You know what the enemy wants to do more than anything else in your life? Distract you. Yeah. You know what we do to play into that? We seem to gather distractions. Don't we? Oh, I might try this. So this morning I want to ask you, do you struggle with motivation? We all do at different times. We want to unpack that a bit and see why. This morning, do you struggle to follow through on your goals? You know, sometimes you go, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, I might do this. You know what a fresh vision does? It brings unity. And we talk about it in a corporate sense, but this morning I want to talk about kind of vision or God's revelation for our lives in an individual sense. And if we don't have God's revelation of what we're meant to be doing with our lives and his vision for our lives, then we become departmentalized. We go, what are you doing with your life? Oh, I don't know. Well, get on with it. Life's but a breath. We need to know what we're doing. Do you or are you reaching your goals? The verse, and this, you know, this is more in my introduction, and actually I haven't got it on the PowerPoint, so you can look it up if you like. And you might have heard this verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. What it actually means is where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. It's almost, if you struggle with self, what do you call that thing? See, I can't even enough heal to memories. Self-discipline. Such a dirty word, isn't it? Self-control. Who wants that? If you struggle with self-control, it might be because you don't have a vision for your life. Isn't it interesting that athletes, those people that have that goal, I saw, you know, I'm just going to harp on it because I can. He interviewed some of the Queenslanders the other week. And one of them said, this is the stuff you dream of as a kid when you're playing footy in the backyard. So he got a vision for his future and he went for it and became motivated, became self-disciplined. Isn't that interesting? We need to think about it. Otherwise, we're going to be a bit like Forrest Gump's feather and just get blown through life. Do you want to be like Forrest Gump's feather? I don't. I want to be led by the Spirit of God with power and direction and make a difference and a dent in the world before I go home. The Amplified Version says, did you turn me down when I started yelling? Nate said before he's fixing the sound desk, he said, this is where you turn it down and when Andrew starts yelling. That's okay. Yeah, it helps, doesn't it, sometimes? The Amplified Version says, where there is no vision, and this is, it says, no redemptive revelation of God. What a great version. No, where there's no redemptive revelation of God. In other words, where you don't have some idea what God wants to do with your life, the people perish. So I want to ask you this morning, where's your horizon? How's your vision? When you look into the future, what do you see? Do you see sickness? Is that your story? Is that the story you want to come into agreement with? Or do you see Jesus? And we're not saying deny you're sick. If you're sick, you're sick, right? Somehow we've got to keep a foot planted on the ground and a foot in heaven, believing the word of God so we can come out of agreement with our current reality into our future reality. Is that all right? I want to use, you can look up, actually you need to go home and read the whole thing. There's your homework. The book of Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. It's a great story of a guy who got a vision from God and made it happen. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He wasn't even in his own country. He'd been taken captive to another country. And when he heard that the wall of his old city of Jerusalem was still in ruins, he was greatly burdened. Always be interested when you're burdened, right? If you have a burden for something, God's probably trying to birth a vision in you. Does that make sense? If you're burdened for the homeless, or if you're burdened to work with those in addiction, you've got a burden for older people or younger people, that's God trying to birth something in you. Pay attention to that. So Nehemiah got a burden. The walls of the city were of great importance in those days because they gave protection. You know, these days we have ASIO and police and federal police and who knows what we've got. But in those days they had walls around their city and the city's walls were all broken down. And Nehemiah goes, this is no good. We're too vulnerable to the enemy. And so God gave Nehemiah a vision to see the walls rebuilt, and the power of that vision saw them come to reality. I think we'll get to it in the end of my sermon, but it's like 52 days. It was amazing how quickly it happened because Nehemiah was following God. Now this verse I was talking about, Proverbs 29:18, says, without a vision the people perish. Or where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. By vision here, the revelation is like that of the prophets. It's not so much a picture, it can be a picture, but it's God speaking. It's us hearing God of what he wants us to do. Not so much physical eyes, but he gave them understanding and insight. And without such insight or vision, the end result is usually chaos. And chaos never achieves anything. Some part of your life in chaos today, then what you might need is some fresh vision. So firstly, God's vision is, handouts on your seats if you want to follow through. I actually gave the things to the guys this week. It's handy. First one is God's vision produces motivation. I'm excited about that because I'm not the most motivated guy on the planet, right? Just if you don't know me well. Sometimes I'm not very motivated. I wake up in the morning and go, gee, the bed's warm, especially in winter. And here's a verse here, right? It says, so we built the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. That's motivation. You ever been on a team where everyone's not wholehearted? I had a mate when I played soccer that was a great soccer player. We're just kids, you know, in primary school. And he used to frustrate me because he was so much better than me. And when, you know, the coach would say, what position do you want to play? Because he was so good, he could play fullback or halfback or whatever. He'd say, I'd like to play left, right out. And it was really demotivating for me. Because I'm thinking, champion, you can play so much better than me. I want to be on the team. I want our team to win. And you want to be left, right out? But how better is it when you're on a team of people that are pumped, who can't wait to show up? And they think they're going to, you know, they're crazy enough just to think they could change the world, even if it's just one life at a time. Yeah. That's the kind of team I want to be on. Yeah. I don't want to be on the, might get out of bed team. I want to be on the jump out of bed and shove some coffee down your throat if you have to, but get on with it. I want to be on that team. Don't you? If you want to go somewhere in life, gather around you motivated people. Otherwise, you won't be going anywhere. Jesus is one of them. Nehemiah, you're a bit noisy today, Wayne. Nehemiah 2:17 says, then I said to them, you will see trouble. You'll see the trouble we're in. So he's casting the vision, right? If you hear this, it's not up there. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. So when he got this vision, he's in a foreign land and the king says, hey, foreign king, doesn't care about Jerusalem. Nehemiah says, oh, I need to go and fix this wall. Not only does the king say, go and do it, here's some whole bunch of materials to help you. You know what? When you step out into what you think God's got for you, if the supplies start to come, then God, you're probably on the right track. Does that make sense? If you step into something, you know, there's a difference. Me and Melissa have this saying. Melissa came up with it years ago when the Salvation Army had a good idea for us, and we thought it was a good idea but not a God idea, so we're brave enough to say no. If you have a good idea, often you step into it and the resources don't come. You ever had that example? You ever got ahead of God? Sometimes we get ahead of God and we step out in faith, but the problem is our faith is in our own good idea. It's never in God. God doesn't have to show up if he hasn't promised to. If God hasn't said it, he has no obligation to meet your needs. A friend of mine next to their door once said, the grace of God will never lead you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. So if you're not in supply right now, you need to pray about whether you're on the right track or not. Because we get ahead of God. We get excited about good ideas. Then we find ourselves out there by ourselves. Moses had it right when he said, if you don't come with us, we're not going. That's the right prayer. Thank you. God's good, isn't he? Who knows Long Jetty's? We're working on a new vision statement, and this is why at Long Jetty. Who knows our old vision statement? You're not allowed to say anything. Who knows our old vision statement that we've had for quite a number of years? Anyone? That's good, Wayne. I'm talking about Long Jetty's one. Do you know the old one? Yeah. Oh, okay. One, two people. Who else? Anyone? You know the old one? The old one, yeah, not the current one that we're working on. The one before. And that's why we're working. You do? Okay, maybe three people. We've had that vision statement for how many years? Four or five, I think. Ten? All right. So if the vision you're working towards doesn't get people motivated and unified, you probably need to throw it out and get a new one. Is that okay? So the leaders have been working on a new vision. We're going to talk about it in the next coming weeks, that it's already starting to get traction. Does that make sense? And same thing, if you don't have a vision for your life that's got some traction, and I'm not talking about traction in the first 3 days. We can all be excited about something new in 3 days. But when the honeymoon period's over, are you still excited? Is the vision still fresh? Is God still speaking into it? That's what I'm talking about, a God revelation and a God vision. I remember when I was 25 years old and I had this intimidating woman ask me if I wanted to be a Salvation Army officer, and I'd thought about it. And I said, oh, I haven't felt led by God to be. I just thought that was a sensible answer in a Christian community. And she said, isn't the need the call? I don't know. Scary woman. Anyway, we fed a chicken and got out of there as fast as we could. It's true. I was working with a guy. He set me up. He said, oh, you go home and finish the baked dinner and look after the boss. I'm going, you. And then I got this conversation, you know, have you thought about college? It's like, get me out of here. Because God hadn't spoken. Yeah. Didn't matter whether this woman spoke or not. Because God hadn't spoken. You know what? 2 years later, not even 2 years later, God spoke. It's very different. It's very different when God speaks. And you know what? I got an excitement and a desire to go to Salvation Army Training College that I'd never had before. I'd thought about it. I'd had a good idea. But I hadn't had the God revelation and the vision. And that comes by His Spirit at the right time. And I was motivated. The reverse is also true. When we have no vision, we don't know what we want, where we are going, and we're completely unmotivated. If you lack motivation, then it could be that you lack a vision or you've lost sight of the vision God has already given you. We'll talk about timing in a minute. And ask God today for a personal vision for your life or a refreshing of that vision. Number two, God's vision produces unity. So 8:1 in the same book of Nehemiah, we're jumping all over Nehemiah today. All the people assembled as one man. If you can get a whole bunch of people to assemble as one man in the square, then that's amazing. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. This wasn't the only unifying thing that happened. Firstly, the Jews worked together for the building of the wall. That was one thing. Then the rich were ripping off the poor. We don't see that today, do we? But Nehemiah pointed out, imagine that, you're going to the rich people. You know God's on your side when you go to the rich people. Say, hey, you're ripping off all the poor people. Stop it. And they do. That'd be God, wouldn't it? You kind of go, that must be God, because that doesn't normally happen. Well, that happened in this story. They're ripping off their brothers and they realized it and they stopped doing it. And then we have this third one after the completion of the wall. Chapter 8 tells us they assembled as one man. In other words, they gathered in unity. They'd achieved a common goal, and this achievement had helped build strong bonds between them. A common vision has the power to unite. And I believe that if we have a personal vision, it has the power to unite us. And instead of going there and there and there, we'll go the direction God's telling us to go. All right, number three, God's vision produces results. So the wall was completed on the 25th of, you know, such and such, in 52 days. That's the important part. You imagine getting it done in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, and this is the other part, right? All the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. In other words, when we follow God's vision and people start seeing it come to fruition, they go, wow, maybe there's a God. Maybe this God is real. Nehemiah's vision resulted in the wall being rebuilt, God being glorified, and people were brought closer to God and to each other. When the Spirit of God reveals God's will to us, we can be assured that He is on board. And if we get on board, great things can happen. Yeah, I was amazed. This is where you know it's God, right? It's not always easy, but there's an ease in it. And we have this amazing room here today because of the journey of a bunch of people back in 2017 when the wall finished about here. I think the wall finished about here from memory. So that's how big our room was. And the boss said, we got some spare money. And you know, you take a risk because we could have knocked the back wall out and added another 50 people to the room and it would have cost $40,000 or $50,000. Or the builder said, if you knock the back wall out, it might cost, I forget what it was, but it's a couple $100,000. You imagine going to your boss and going, well, this one will cost 50 and this one will cost 200. And the boss said, I think that one's a better idea. See where God shows up? And you go, oh, suddenly there's an ease to it. The other thing that happened was we managed to squeeze roughly 100 people that we had in here in that back hall. Because we had the option, right? We had the option of hiring a hall. And you imagine having church in a hall somewhere that's extra work, set up, pack up, all that kind of thing, right? And I was just amazed that the people, I don't know if any of you, some of you were here at that time, right? No one complained. We're like sardines. You imagine that back morning tea room, we were packed in there like sardines and no one complained. That's God. When people aren't whinging, you know God's involved, don't you? Hey, you know God's visiting your family when dinner's on the table and no kids are whinging. So we got all the kids in the back room, no one's whinging, you know it's God. They're the signs that we need to be looking for. If God is in something, then there's an ease to it. There's a flow. If there isn't, we need to go back to God and make sure we're in line with what He has revealed to us. Now, I haven't got this point, and I shouldn't have added. I knew I should have. In the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk gets a vision too, right? But God says to him, God says this, the vision waits an appointed time, right? It will tarry, but it will come. And I want to just warn you around timing, right? Because sometimes God gives us a vision for now. Nehemiah got a vision which was for right now, for right straight away. Get on with it, right? Some visions are like that. Other visions are actually a year, two, three, four down the road. And if we try to step into it early, we're going to crash and burn. So we not just get the what of what God wants us to do, we've got to get the when. And I've watched too many people shipwreck even a godly vision by getting the when wrong. And I'll add to that too, get the how. Okay, God's smart enough to give you the how. Often what we do is we get some idea, and sometimes it is God, right? And we just shoot off ahead of Him and wonder why it doesn't work out. And God's still waiting back here saying, I haven't finished talking. I've got some more detail. Okay? So wait for His timing. You can call that point four. It's not in my notes. But it's really important. Look up the book of Habakkuk. He's in the Old Testament as well. Good guy. Smart guy. He waited for God. All right, I'm going to ask the band to come up. This is what I want us to do, right? If you're struggling with motivation, it may not be that. It might be something else. You might need more sleep or a better diet. More exercise. But if you've got all those things and you're still struggling with motivation, maybe you need a fresh vision or a God vision or a refreshing of God's vision for your life. If you're kind of all over the shop and you're lacking direction, again, maybe you need a fresh vision. What we don't want, right, what we don't want is the world's vision or the devil's vision. So I'm going to invite you to stand, actually. I want you to engage with this song because I just believe as we sing it, there's going to be power. If you want to come forward for prayer, you can do that. If you want to give your life to Jesus, it's as simple as, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. And then you actually get control of your life back because He gives you self-control by His Spirit. And when we sing these words, right, If you need to sing this today, right? If you need to sing, sickness is not my story. It might be my reality right now, but I don't want it to be my story. When people say, hi, you know, what's your name? I'm Andrew and I've got this condition. No, that's not your identity, okay? Don't let sickness become your identity. Don't let past hurt become your identity. Don't let, what's the other things in there? Whatever the song says. Ah, oh, hey, how good is that? Has heartbreak been your story? Yeah, all of us. Hey, heartbreak's not my story. You are. What that means is Jesus can become our healing. Let him become your healing this morning. Heartbreak's not my story. You are. Sickness is not my story. You are. Fear is not my story. You are. So I don't care whether you're singing in tune or out of tune, but say the words and come into agreement with your heart and you might find something shift in your spirit today. Is that all right?